and welcome back to scorenotes.com. We're here today with composer John Debney. John, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Tom. Good to hear your voice, and great to be with you today.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to start off by talking about some recent projects, beginning with The Mummy 3. At what point in the process were you asked to write additional music for it?
I came on very late in the process. Randy Edelman had written a really terrific score, and after he'd written the score, as things happen in this town, the picture got recut. Randy had a medical issue that he was going to deal with, so that he was going to be unavailable to do any of these pickup sessions. So I became available right at the tail end, about a week or 10 days before they were going to start to mix. They needed some additional material.
Now, was it tough to kind of match up the styles of the groundwork that he laid out in the movie?
Not really. I think, you know, honestly, he had written some really terrific themes. I think that the nature of the film changed midstream. And really, what they were looking for, you know, from me was some additional sort of very high energy, you know, battle music, chase music, stuff like that. So I utilized some of Randy's great themes, and we were off to the races, and there you go.
Now, how much time did you have to compose the music that you wrote?
5 days. It was a brutal. It was a brutal 5 days. About 35 minutes of music, all high energy, big 105 piece orchestra type cues. It was brutal. It was the quickest turnaround I've ever had. But, you know, everybody did it with a lot of energy and grace, and we got it done. And the director was a terrific guy, Rob Cohen. Loved what I was doing, and you know, I fell in love with him and what he had done with the film. So it was really all good. It was all good, but very, you know, very difficult, but good.
Taking a step from the world of the mummies and into a movie like Swing Vote, how satisfied were you with how well the film did with both critics and the audiences?
Well, I was very satisfied with the critical acclaim, because I thought, you know, really think it is a terrific movie. A little disappointed it didn't do, you know, a little bit better, but, you know, you never know about these things. I do know we made a good film. I'm, you know, proud of it. I love the director. Who's become a friend of mine. I love that everybody involved with that picture, and you know, you just go in with the best intentions, and you never know what's going to happen. In that case, I think we made a really, really good movie, and just wasn't as commercially successful as we'd hoped, but it also came out at a very difficult time. So, but I'm really happy with the end result, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if that movie took off, you know, once it hits DVD shelves.
I agree. It's quite timely. You know, we're living it right now. And, you know, those that have seen it seem to love it. So I'm very pleased about it.
Cool. Now, does the inclusion of songs in the movie add another layer of challenges or difficulty to the spotting process?
You know, every film's different. It's a terrific question, actually. It you know, it just depends on the film. If the songs are well chosen, which in the case of Swing Vote, I felt they were very, very well chosen and very lots of thought given to them. If they're well chosen, it doesn't present, a terrific obstacle at all. It just becomes, you know, something that I need to know about as the composer going in, so that I can elegantly sort of get in and out of the songs and make sure that the score is in the right key and there aren't any train wrecks. So, you know, every film is different in that regard, and Swing Vote happened to be, you know, a film that I felt the songs were very well chosen and very well placed, so it wasn't a really difficult thing, and I felt that the score ultimately worked very well coming in and out of the song. So it's just that every film is different, but, you know, Swing Vote had a lot of songs, and I thought, again, they were very well constructed.
And continuing along, you know, some of the movies that you've recently been credited with, such as Meet Dave.
Right.
Now, there seemed to be quite a bit of enthusiasm with a kind of a sci-fi feel to it. Did you have a fun time working on that?
We had a blast working on that, and unfortunately that one didn't work, it seemed, for the commercial audience. But I tell you, it's a really sweet movie, and you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't click. But we had a ball working on it. Brian Robbins, the director, is a terrific guy. Hope to work with him again. Fox was wonderful. They gave me everything I needed in terms of writing a score like that with a, you know, sort of a sci-fi tinge to it. And it was fun for me because that score is sort of a little bit of an homage to all the scores that I love from beginning with, perhaps, you know, things like Star Trek, the series, the original series. And there are little sort of nods of the head to those scores, you know, to some of John Williams' scores for Star Wars. There's just a lot of, it's just fun. And in fact, the last couple cues in the movie sort of gave me an opportunity to go to those sort of operatic fun places. So it was a lot of fun for me. And the whole journey on that was a lot of fun. And, you know, again, I hope to work with Brian again. He's a great guy.
Awesome. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about your work for Layer.
Sure.
Now, that is one of my recent favorites, and everyone that I've spoken to who has heard it has been blown away by the scale and the epic tones of it. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you did for that game?
Sure. I loved working on that, and in truth, would love to do more game music, but I haven't really had the time or the opportunity yet to do that. But that was a unique situation where Sony had approached me early on and got me involved very early, and from start to finish, I think it was on it about a year. And as with games, as you and your listeners probably know, you come on early, you work on it a bit, and then you go away for a while, and then you come back, and it's sort of this long drawn out process as opposed to film. In a nutshell, they wanted the big, epic, very tuneful score, and because, you know, the story is so large and in scale, and there are so many characters, it enabled me to sort of create themes for, you know, the two cultures, for the individual characters in some cases. Actually, interestingly enough, wrote more themes than actually made it into the game. There were civilization themes. There was one that I coined. Anyway, just a wealth of material that they had me write over the course of a year, and they sort of whittled it all down. And again, the intention was to create something by design that was epic and very melodic. And you know, honestly, I, having gotten to know Basil Poledouris towards the end of his life, the main theme is sort of an homage to Basil. In fact, the first time I finally came up with the main theme, which is what became the main theme to Lair, I called it Basil's theme. So it's by design, you know, the kind of score that you know, with my full intention was to make it that kind of classic Conan meets, you know, you pick the score. In other words, that type of score, that type of classic thematic score. And lo and behold, we, through a series of circumstances that worked to our advantage, we ended up in London doing it with, you know, with the incredible London musicians. So it was quite the fun ride, and I think from a creative standpoint, it was one of the more liberating and more sort of free things I've ever done. In other words, they were so wonderful, meaning they being Sony and the game developers, they just gave me sort of carte blanche to write what I wanted to write, and that's what came out. And I can't thank them enough for that, because they also came up with enough money to do it right, do it properly, to hire the right musicians. We had a bunch of great musicians on that. We had my friend Lizbeth Scott. We had Karen Hahn, the air who player. We had a lot of other soloists. Tanya Tarasvuka, who's in London, and she did a lot of the vocals. So it's just a wonderful melange of of performers, and we had a lot of fun, and got it actually recorded in a very short period of time. I think we were in London only 3 days, and did it all in 3 days, and there you go.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a breathtaking score in every sense of the word, and part of what I enjoyed about it, aside from the epic tones of it, is you could actually place yourself in that environment through the music.
Well, that's great to hear, Tom. Thank you for that. That's the whole intent. The intent was to create something that, you know, musically was, hopefully will be lasting. The game itself, interestingly enough, again, was not one of the commercially more successful titles. And so I think that the weird thing about the score is that people are slowly discovering the score, which I'm really happy about. I'm delighted that you mentioned it and that you like it. But it's interesting. Many people still haven't heard that score, and I mean people that love games. So that I'm just really, really sort of very, very, you know, happy that slowly but surely people seem to be discovering it, and there are more little bits of it on YouTube. Somebody mentioned to me the other day, so I'm really pleased, and I hope people like it. And again, I had hoped had the game done a little bit better, I think more people would know the music. But you know, nonetheless, I'm glad that, you know, people are discovering it now.
Yeah, it will find its way. It's that good. Just a matter of time.
I'm really proud of it. That really means a lot. Thank you.
And I'm hoping that Hollywood takes notice when there's these, you know, these epic movies that they're putting together, that they shouldn't experiment, and they should reference a score like yours and approach you to do the work on it.
Well, you know what? That's Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's funny, Tom. You know, we try to get that music out, and people that hear it are sort of blown away by it, that, you know, in my Hollywood community. But it's still kind of, you know, Hollywood's funny. They're a little bit behind the times, I would say, in one sense, because I don't think necessarily that they have fully embraced, you know, what the video game world means to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is changing. Obviously, a lot more films are being made from games. But even, you know, even the composers for games haven't, many of them have not, you know, gotten a foothold in the Hollywood door yet. And I hope that changes, because there's some really terrific, terrific people writing scores for games. So anyway, I hope there's more cross-pollination, and, you know, that hopefully that music, my music for Lair, might find a good audience here for the right project. So let's hope.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thanks, man.
When it comes to a movie like Iron Man, were you originally attached to that project?
Well, that's a great question. It's a little bit delicate. Put it this way, I think had all the stars lined up, I would have been doing that movie. But you got to remember, that movie was the first movie out of the box for Marvel, you know, Marvel as its own entity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think had Favreau had carte blanche with his way, I gotta believe I would have probably been doing the movie. However, you know, I didn't, and was very regretful of it, because I was not enamored with what the result was. And I felt, I mean, I still feel this way. I feel that Iron Man deserves a big, great, you know, score with a great melody. Doesn't even, you know, can have any kind of stylistic splashes of color in it, of course. But bottom line, I think Iron Man as a character certainly deserves his own theme, deserves a great score. And, you know, if they're amenable to me jumping on Iron Man 2, I would in a heartbeat, because I think, you know, I'm confident that I could give them something that I think would be pretty cool. But, you know, it was a series of circumstances that kind of precluded me being involved. And interestingly enough, there were even rumblings right towards the end of their dubbing process that they were maybe going to have me come in, not unlike Mummy, and do some material, but that didn't work out. And, you know, I regret that I wasn't involved, because I think I could have done something pretty special for it. And I'm hoping that John and I can work on either two or something else together, because Favreau's truly just a great guy. He's one of the smartest directors I know, And, you know, I'm looking forward to working with him on something because I get such a, you know, good rush out of it. So the short answer is there were rumblings of me being on number one. It didn't happen. And, you know, let's see what number two, let's see what happens.
Yeah, and just speaking as a fan of your work, I mean, it's almost of a tease because I know there's some great material in your head that's just itching to get out, and hopefully with the sequel, that may come to pass. So I'm definitely rooting for it.
Well, thanks. You know what? And that's very kind of you, and it doesn't hurt. You know, if other people feel that way, you'd be surprised. You know, the blogging and the, you know, fan message boards really are important, and filmmakers and producers read these comments, so I'll tantalize you a little bit further that I've already written material for Iron Man.
Oh, boy.
Thematic material, and I got to say, it's some of the better stuff I've written, and I'm just dying.
Oh, boy.
You know, if I get the chance, believe me, there is material waiting for them, so...
Yeah, please keep it on call. Hold it in reserve.
I will. I haven't used it yet. I'm tempted to use it for something else, but I just want to hold on for a little while longer. So,
as we kind of wrap up here, can you give us an idea of what some of the projects are that you're working on now?
Sure. I'd love to because I've been really, really blessed. It's been a very busy year, and I'm doing a lot of different kinds of things. I just finished a DreamWorks movie. Now, don't laugh at the name, but it's a really sweet movie. It's called Hotel for Dogs.
Okay.
And it was with a great, big, you know, big producers on this thing. Ivan Reitman, Lauren Shuler Donner. And the movie is just terrific. If you're a dog or an animal lover, you're going to have to see this movie. It is charming, fun, lots of heart. The score, I tell people, it's sort of Home Alone, but with dogs. And it's really, really sweet and great. Just finished that like a week ago. And I'm also just finishing a really, really important film called The Stoning of Soraya M. It's a little teeny film, but a very, very important film about, and it's a true story, I might add, for everybody that might read or listen to this. It's a true story about an amazing woman who lived in Iran during the mid-80s. And it's her story, and it's about a woman who, in that time frame, gets unjustly accused by her estranged husband of adultery. And she basically has to go through this journey of the whole town turning on her and ultimately stoning her to death. And the music that I just created with some incredible artists is... I think some of my better work, certainly since The Passion, and it's in that world. We have some incredible musicians singing on it and playing on it, and tiny movie that I'm not sure that, you know, will get a huge release, but it certainly should be seen by a lot of people. It's a very moving, very triumphant little story, so I'm just finishing that, and then I'm going to jump into some, you know, fun, familiar territory. I'm doing something called They Came From Upstairs for Fox, which is sort of a really cool kind of Gremlins-ish movie, you know, that's like CGI version of Gremlins, but really, really fun, really terrific, really scary. It's interesting. It's like, you know, these kids go off with their family to this wonderful... you know, big summer cabin home, and these aliens show up, and they're kind of in the attic, and things happen, and they have to sort of, you know, stop these aliens from destroying the world. So it's really a fun movie, and it's quite exciting. So I'm working on a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah, it sounds like a diverse and interesting and it's an important mix of projects. That's for sure.
It is. It's a lot of fun. I'm really blessed to, you know, be able to jump around like this.
Right. Well, John, many thanks for joining us today. I know you have a very busy schedule, so I really appreciate the time you've given us.
It's always great talking to you, Tom, and I love it, and I look forward to doing it again.